Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here in studio,
Graham K.
Man.
I'm back in the studio apartment, everybody.
Back in the studio apartment.
Studio apartment. I flew to Los Angeles, California to be here with you, Kirk Smith. Flying home
Not
in an
exactly.
hour.
Nobody flies to Los Angeles.
I told the limousine driver to drop me off at the studio apartment. He did.
Could you drop me off at Kirk Smith Studios apartment?
Yep. And he knew where to come exactly. It shows up on Google Maps. And I'm just going to record, this episode.
That's one of my biggest frustrations.
And then back in time for dinner.
Is there's vans every day coming by full of tourists pointing at my place and going, that's Kirk Smith's studio right there.
They record Autastic in there. And then you can also hear, who's Kirk Smith? in Audible, in all sorts of different accents, which is fun. From around the world, people wonder who Kirk Smith is.
I have people questioning my identity from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to LA. Welcome back, man.
Good to be back. Fun in the sun.
Doing some shows out here.
I'm doing some wearing Daisy Duke cut-off jean shorts. Did some roller skating on the boardwalk.
I'd love to talk to you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Get my tan on. Wear some Varnett sunglasses. Looking good. Yeah. Tie-dye shirt. People love it.
You're looking great. Looking great. Hair is still there. You're looking good. Looking good.
I lost 13 pounds.
A lot of walking around out there, huh?
No one has said a thing.
Oh,
I got back to
you
LA.
Look great.
Not one person has said a thing. 13 pounds. But yeah. No, things are good, man. Things
That's
are
great,
good.
Man. Things
are good to be back. Getting back in town doing some meetings, doing some shows. Excited to be back recording this, not on the phone. Sorry, thanks for listening for me on the phone all those times. I hope it's been okay. But yeah, man, this week you've been busy. How have you been?
I've been good. I just plugging away. Goofy town.
You went to a some sort of autism festival. Is that what it was? Was it the Autism Festival?
Not exactly. I went to the disability.
By the way, we're so caught up in me being in studio, we forgot to set up the podcast.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm getting thrown off by Graham's brown eyes. I haven't stared in those brown eyes for a long
They're
time.
Hazel. They're hazel. They're green in certain occasions.
Not in the lighting in here. Not in this
no,
terrible
not
lighting.
Not in this drab lighting. More of a gray. Everyone's got gray eyes.
This is Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism, where we're two comedians and we have autistic loved ones. I have a 18-year-old son who's on the severe end of the spectrum. And Graham, tell us about your brother, Pete.
I have a 33-year-old brother who is somewhere on the spectrum, probably a little above the middle, maybe. You guys are all been listening forever. He's doing great, living on his own. He's becoming a hermit. Had an argument the other day about it. It's fine. Yeah.
So this is a little bit of a special episode. If you know our regular format, we're going to depart from it a little bit. I went to an event for the disability rights organization.
The Disability Rights Organization. Is that what it's called?
Close. It's the name of it is the Disability Rights Legal Center.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds pretty fancy.
I like how you tried to make it like I made a mistake, but I would just copied what you said the first time.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was talking
Try
about.
Try to pin it on me.
Per usual.
Pin it on old Graham, doing his best.
Young Graham, young little whippersnapper.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was an event they had at Fox Studios. And
here in Culver City, right?
Here, yeah, right around the corner. Yeah, I think technically it's...
Somewhere in Los
Century
Angeles.
City.
Century City, sure.
Century City, yeah.
Sure.
I think that studio, they told us, it gives a little tour. They have The Simpsons has a little thing there. American Horror Story. I'm blanking on all the other stuff. Tons of stuff.
I've been to auditions there. It's really cool. They got like that mini fake New York.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
the
cool.
very entrance. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I guess they were telling us that studio used to be from there all the way to Pico, so like half of West Los Angeles.
Wow.
Then Cleopatra, I think it was, broke the studio, and they had to sell it.
Hilarious.
Something like that.
Yeah. I went to that studio, and the cafeteria is called Moe's.
Yes.
From like The Simpsons, Moe's.
Yeah, yeah.
and my brother's a huge Simpson head. So I take a picture, you know, with like, you know, the sign that says Moe's, and there's a drawing of Moe, and it's like, I send it to Peter thinking he's going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. You're at Moe's. And I send it to him and he's like, Mike, he's like, oh, what's that? I'm like, it's Moe's. It's like from The Simpsons. Okay.
That's not the real Moe's. The Moe's is cartoon.
Yeah. Okay.
So, thanks, well, we got a series of interviews. So maybe we should run the interviews and
let's run
talk
them.
About it afterwards. So this first interview is, this is one of the attorneys who, we could talk about our thoughts about suing after that, but this is Marinel Barajas, who was the lead attorney on this suit, that this big lawsuit here in Southern California that helped establish.
You talk about it. You set it up in the interview. We'll just play it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm very excited for this interview. I am here at the Disability Rights Legal Center event here at Fox Studios in Los Angeles, California. Honestly, it's as glamorous as it sounds. And I have the director of the Disability Rights Legal Center. Now, help me out. Marinel Barajas.
That is correct.
Yes. I have a hard time with names sometimes. I'm tall and I have good hair, but I'm very dumb. So you don't get everything in life. That's how it works. So you just gave a talk here at the event, and I was really impressed. It was about trying to get additional funding for two kids with autism. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Disability Rights Legal Center was contacted by some families who have their kids attend Pomona Unified School District. And they alleged that their kids were coming home with bruises, scrape marks, ripped clothing, but because they have autism, they weren't able to explain what happened to them.
Right, which is like, as a parent with a kid with autism, is like the scariest thing when you don't know what's happening and they won't tell you, he can't tell you, or she can't tell you. Oh, so scary. So
right. So one of the clients would just say, red face, red face. But the parents had no clue. They didn't know what was happening. They would go, the parents alleged they went to the school district and asked for information, and they weren't given any. So they reached out to our nonprofit. We're a legal nonprofit. And so they explained those stories, and we investigated the matter. We then brought in a large law firm to co-counsel with us, and we filed a federal lawsuit and a state lawsuit alleging that they were violating their rights as students with disabilities because they had failed to properly train staff and properly supervise staff to actually work with students with autism and students with developmental disabilities more largely.
Right. And so what was the point of the lawsuit? The point of the lawsuit wasn't money, but was to get training for the schools in order to provide the services that the kids needed, right?
Right. So the big crux of the lawsuit, our federal lawsuit, was strictly about getting policy fixes, getting training done so that this doesn't happen to anyone else.
Right.
And it's district-wide. So part of the point of the whole lawsuit was like, how do we fix this? How do we make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else? Because these are sometimes one of the most vulnerable kids because you can't just...
Because they don't tell you.
Right.
They can't tell you.
Right. They can't come home and say, Mom, this happened to me at school and this is what's happening. There's no communication there.
Yeah. Longtime listeners know I've talked about this before, but we had a situation where my son is now 18, but when he was a kid, he was about 10, he was getting kind of bullied and beat up on the bus. And we didn't know until we actually witnessed it. Mm-hmm. And until you actually see it, it was impossible to see what was happening. So what was the story with the red face? They were trying to describe somebody yelling at them, or what was going on?
It was one of our clients, so the allegation is that one of the teachers actually slapped him in his face,
okay.
And that's how he obtained the red face.
Right.
And so one of the teachers in this lawsuit was actually criminally prosecuted as well. Was it the teacher or the teacher's aide? I'm forgetting at this late in the game. But that was one of the things that was happening, and it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't about one student or two students. It was really focusing on how do we train the district? How does a district trains teachers to interact with kids with developmental disabilities, with kids with autism. And so one of the big things that we received in the settlement and we asked for is for them to hire experts, actually people who are trained on working with kids with autism, trained with working people with developmental disabilities, and they're going to actually help the district create new district-wide policies to do this so that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I feel like oftentimes what happens in these situations is you get teachers or aides that are just in over their head. They don't know what they're doing. And then I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but when they don't receive the training and they don't know, then the worst happens. And so the training is very important. I think you're right to really target the training. Mm-hmm. And so is this case completely settled? So
So as of September, the parties reached a full settlement. So a big chunk
of it.
September 2017, and the school district's board approved it. Because it's a class action, now we have to put it in front of the court, and the court has to make that final analysis and decide whether it's going to approve the agreement. So right. As of now, the parties have fully agreed. We've already agreed on the experts that the district's going to work with. We've agreed with the scope. And then we also had a separate damages class, what we call related to the state court case, because there's actually two federal class action and a state class action. And so as part of that, there's going to be $900,000 in a sort of like an account that people who were affected by the lawsuit can go and access those funds as soon as it's approved by the court.
Well, that's great. But I think more importantly, at least I feel is the training going
yes.
forward to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yes.
This is, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the big things with the two families, our two named plaintiffs, BK's and JV's mother, is that they really fought for that. They
right.
It wasn't about the money. You asked
right.
them, and it was never about the money, because they wanted to see the changes for everyone. They didn't want
right.
this to happen to their kids, but they also didn't want it to happen to anyone else. One of the unique things about this particular school district, it is largely a monolingual, and mm-hmm. so sometimes the parents are more scared to come out. They're afraid of retaliation. They're afraid
right.
of potentially getting deported. All these various things that necessarily don't apply to the education. And you had these two families that just were willing to go to the mat to get system-wide injunctive fixes, and even if it meant that their kids didn't get money.
Right, but it'd be changes to the system, so the next generation of autistic kids, or the next grade, or the next, yeah.
Yes, district-wide.
District-wide, yeah.
K through 12.
Yeah, that's amazing. No, it's really great. Yeah, you really spoke with a lot of passion and enthusiasm. It's really encouraging to see, yeah, you guys take action. Now, for our listeners, if they are in this area, you guys... talk to me a little bit about what you guys do, the Disability Rights Legal Center, and how people can reach you guys and all that. How does that work exactly?
Yeah, so we're the oldest cross-disability organization nonprofit in the country, which means that we represent people with all different types of disabilities, whether you have autism, a learning disability, a physical disability. We represent families, individuals, and we do so through various projects. We have the Litigation Project, which is a project that I'm the director of, and we actually provide direct representation, either that be individual class action, and we also provide, we have the Community Advocacy Program, and so parents are... and other interested community members who want trainings or workshops like to learn more about their rights, special education, the ADA, a 504 plan, anything like that, they can contact our community advocacy program.
What's that number, or where do they reach you? What's the website?
It's...
Okay, so if a little off the air, I was teasing her a little bit about not knowing where she works, the phone number, but if families want to reach out to you guys, they have questions about the legality of the treatment they're receiving, what's the website? Where can they reach you?
They can reach us at drlcenter.org. That's drlcenter.org.
Disability Rights Legal is what that stands for. Center.org. All right. Well, so that's great. So what's next? The settlement has to be approved by the state, but what's next for these actual two kids that the families brought the class action? What's going on with them? How, they have new aides? Is it new teachers? They'd move people in?
So during the life of this case, part of our two clients, our named clients, JB and BK, were actually put into a non-public school. So they
okay.
were removed from the campus during that time and put into a different environment so that they could, you know, ensure their safety.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really looking forward to moving back to the district and becoming part of the larger campus that they were once part
okay.
of. And
right.
so that's where they are. And
that's great. So obviously different teachers and different training and different... talk to me a little bit about what the settlement entails. So you touched on it briefly, but there's going to be system-wide training for the special ed teachers, or how does it work?
Yeah, so right now, as part of the settlement agreement, the district has agreed to actually hire on at least two experts, if not three. And these are experts that know kids with autism, know how to work with kids with developmental disabilities, and know how to apply appropriate techniques. And one of the things that we alleged throughout the lawsuit was that the teachers' aides, the teachers, the bus drivers, et cetera, didn't know how to interact if one of the students was having a meltdown. And so
right. okay.
one of our clients, for example, we alleged that they held his arms and legs inappropriately. So some of these experts are actually there to train them, like how to notice the signs, how to see
okay.
when something's about to happen.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So basically, it's going to be a change from the ground up, really. The training is going to start hopefully from the beginning for the teachers.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's district-wide. So all district staff is going to receive this training. All district staff that deals with kids with autism or developmental disabilities is going to receive the training. The experts are actually going to help write the policies. So the district's not going to be writing the policies. Another big piece of the agreement, which is really important and key, is that as class counsel, for at least the next 4 years, we have the right to monitor and do the oversight of the implementation. So we actually get to see what the training is going to look like and how things are happening. So the case, even when it settles, we still have that ability to sort of be a little bit of a big brother right. to the district.
That's amazing. Well, I commend you on the work you're doing. It's really encouraging when you see action taking place and vulnerable people's rights being protected. So it's just a great thing. Thank you so much for coming on our little podcast. Guys, if you want to reach out, guys and gals, if you want to reach out to Ms. Barajas, she is at drlcenter.org, the Disability Rights Legal Center, and she's got tons of information. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what do you think?
First thoughts is that it's great. I'm really happy that someone's looking out for these people. It's a horrific story and it's my worst nightmare. And I think you may have told me, but I forgot, or I'd never heard that story about your son being abused on the bus. And
yeah,
crazy. I was
frustrated too, because the guy abusing him was a little guy.
Yeah.
And if, you know, you don't want to teach him to throw a punch, but I was like, if I could just teach this kid to square up and he could just knock his kid out. Yeah. Just a terrible thing to say.
That's different though. That's other kids, you know. Yeah. But in this case it's the caretaker.
Yeah, but in our case the bus driver didn't do anything.
Right. Right.
It was very frustrating and impotent or very, yeah, it's very, not just emasculating, but you feel very powerless.
Yeah, as a parent, I would imagine.
Yeah, what do you do? You don't have any video.
I can't imagine.
You just show up, he's scratched up, he's upset. You know, we were talking a little bit off air. I'm really not a huge fan of, it's become such a litigious society, which.
Well, here's the thing is, after listening to this, I was like, it's great, but. How is this firm making money by just suing school boards? Like, right. is there something sketchy to me about that? Are they in? Could you make a case that they're just glorified ambulance chasers, and this is another angle for them to make money? Do you know what I mean? And
right, we talked about this off air a little bit.
But then it's also, you know, if they are protecting people like they are in that particular case, and they are causing change in a school board, then sure, if that's what it takes to have things change, then yes. Of course I want this.
Yeah. And it's two separate things, right? Yeah. It's terrible that you have to sue.
Yeah.
People should just do the right thing from the very beginning, but at least it's an avenue, a recourse. If you're down and out, you're disenfranchised and you're a poor family and what do you do?
Yeah.
You just start to go beating up people? No, you have to, we live in a civil society. You need to go, try to make changes to the system so it doesn't happen to the next generation of kids.
It just sucks that that's the only way you can do it. There can't be any sort of regular legal matters where the police get involved and then it's a scandal and then it changes.
Right.
But I mean, it's good that this family gets money, I suppose, you know?
Yeah. I can follow up, but I don't believe they get a lot of money. I think the main crux of at least the way it's framed to us was the main crux of it was the funding by the state for the school district for programs for autistic kids.
Yeah. And which is, which is still completely underfunded, and it's insane that, you think things always happen, you know, 2 years after they're supposed to happen, 3 years after, everything's always late.
Yeah.
Everything. So, you think, it's 2017. No, it hasn't trickled down yet. And I'm glad things are changing. People have no idea what an autistic person is still. And they don't know how to. I'm looking at that bus driver, in your situation through the lens of what I know about autism.
Right.
He doesn't. He doesn't know about autism. Probably he wasn't trained at all.
Yeah, but he's driving a special ed bus. He should.
Well, he's probably paid a dollar.
That's the problem.
They get paid nothing. He hasn't.
So yeah, as bad as it sounds, I think at least in this case the lawsuit was the way forward, and hopefully it's going to change things.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's a very interesting discussion, and I'm glad that there, somebody out there looking out for these kids in a way that...
The most vulnerable members of our society.
Absolutely. And it's insane that this... How these teachers, these scumbags, hitting a kid. I can't imagine. Anyway, whatever. I'm getting all riled up. Should we do the other one?
You're already too angry. Come on.
What? Yeah.
I'm afraid for my life, people. Ladies and gentlemen, Graham K. Very angry. Very angry.
I'm jet lagged. But if I wasn't jet lagged, oh, buddy, it would be crazy.
This is what we've missed out the last 45 episodes we've been in New York. This is another quick little interview. We'll just play a little piece of it. This is the Sarah, who works at Apple. They were recognized by the legal, this legal foundation for the work that they do with the disabled. Obviously, they do some work with the autistic that we've highlighted before, but then they also do a lot of work for blind people, deaf people, what do they call that? Mobility, limited mobility people, I think was. Sure. They had a lady there who was an equestrian, but she was in a wheelchair. Pretty amazing.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. And there's a new video out. We'll put it in the notes of, how you can
put it on our Facebook.
Put it on our Facebook so you can check it out. So let's play a little interview.
Let's do it.
All right, guys, we're back. I'm so excited to be one more time. This is part of our series of interviews at the Disability Rights Legal Center. And we've got Miss Herlinger, Mrs. Herlinger. Am I close? Ms. Oh, my goodness. Maybe we should start from the beginning. Hey, guys. I'm joking. We're not going to start over. Last time, did I get your name right or did I get it wrong? We were just talking about this.
Yeah, no, I don't think you got it right that time either. But, you know, I know how you like to butcher the name. So.
Oh, if it was in Spanish, if it was phonetic, I would get it. If it was...
It's German,
It's hard.
It's just
German. I
got to
be honest, it's a mouthful. Hey, we just sat through an award that Apple got, and sat through is the wrong word. We just enjoyed the presentation Apple got.
Thank you.
And there was a new video. You guys should be very proud of the work you're doing. I mean that all sincerity. Yeah, you can't tell because there's a lot of busting chops. But I'm serious. It's like some real...
Thank you very much.
Yeah, some real work going
in. I greatly appreciate your saying that.
Talk to us a little bit about the new OS or whatever you want to talk about. I was really impressed with the work that's going on over there.
Yeah, well, thank you. We're really honored to be here. This is an incredible honor for Apple to receive an award from the Disability Rights Legal Center. They're a great organization, and there's a lot of synergy in the way that they view accessibility as a civil right, human right, in the way that we do as well. And so we were really... incredibly honored when they asked us to be a part of this evening. When we think about accessibility, it really is about human rights. It's about creating technology that works for everyone. We love what we make, and we want everyone to be able to use it. And so our goal is really to just provide as many possible amazing ways to customize your device to use it in the way that works best for you.
And off the air, we talked a little bit about this. As a new OS, I got to be honest, full disclosure, I have not upgraded my phone because I want the bugs out.
Oh.
I want the bugs out before I upgrade. I'm one of the last guys. Do you want to upgrade tonight? No, I don't want to upgrade tonight. I wait a month usually. Yeah. But tell us about the new features on the OS.
Well, 11? iOS 11, yes, for iPhone, iPad,
yes.
And iPod Touch. It is iOS 11. And yeah, there's some great features we're really excited about. I think a couple that would be interesting to...
Yeah, what are you going to highlight?
Yeah. Two features that we've been working on that have actually been in the operating system for a little while, but we've done some great updates to make them even better. One of them is inverting colors, and we have a new feature called Smart Invert. And what that does is not only change the color scheme from a dark letters on a white background to white letters on a dark background.
I remember that, yeah, like for dark rooms or for like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. It's less taxing sometimes in your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, we fixed a piece of it where it doesn't photo invert any of the media anymore. So it used to be that because it was doing that inversion, it was doing
it's
everything.
It's like a negative, yeah.
Yeah, but now... Everything's the media, so videos and photos and things all stay the same.
Smart.
And so for people who have sensitivity to light or to, any kind of visuals, it's a great way to be able to bring down that strain on the eyes and just make it easier for you to see. Another great feature that we've had for a while is called Speak Screen, but one of the things we've done as well for this year is allow you to do more in terms of customization of word-by-word highlighting. When you think about the multimodality and the way that for some people being able to see something on the screen as well as hear it really helps them to be able to process information. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just a great way to be able to kind of pick the color schemes that work for you, pick the way that it works best on the device, and really just have that feature come alive for people in new ways.
All right. Well, I don't have a big agenda today. I just was excited for you guys. I wanted to hear from the, tell me your title again, the Disabilities.
This
is a mouthful.
Yeah,
all these people.
I am the director of Global Accessibility Policy and Initiative.
Global Director of, okay, you heard it. I mean, you can rewind it. If not, push the rewind button on your podcast button. And we're really impressed with what you guys are doing. Give us your handle one more time. So if people have questions and comments on, I don't know if you got questions last time, but I get people to reach out.
Yeah.
To me, so yeah.
I remember last time we did put out the, yes. Our email address, which is accessibility@apple.com. We would love to hear from people. It's a great way for you to, any of our users to ask questions or provide feedback, let us know if they find bugs, things like that. And for us to just have a dialogue with the community, and that's something that's really important to us.
That's great. Well, we really appreciate what you guys are doing for the community. It kind of branches out, this video branches out a little bit more into not autism-related stuff, but they were highlighting people with, I guess you'd call it like mobility disabilities or limited mobility, and they were highlighting people that were sight impaired. There's a few different things that they highlighted in that video. It's really encouraging what you guys are doing. You guys should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, the purpose Seriously. Of that video is really to show a wide array of the kind of work that we do and how our goal is really to support everyone. So thank you for your kind words about it.
Thanks for stopping by. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. You can do it. So that's it.
That's it. A little recognition for people corporation doing a good thing. I'm glad, Apple doesn't have to do this, and it's nice that they're doing that and they are helping people. So that needs to be acknowledged and we're happy to do so. Right.
That's it, man. The stuff they do for the blind and the deaf and you don't say blind anymore, do you? There's another way of saying that. Is there another way of saying that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're looking at the wrong guy.
But they have that function where you can run your finger over your screen and it'll read out everything that your finger touches. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. We've talked about it before.
Did we do another episode?
That's it. We did it, guys.
Wow.
Guys, thank you so much. This has been a special Autastic with Graham in studio. Excited Apartment. To have him here.
Yes. I'm at Graham K. OK. That's my name spelt out with an OK at the bottom for Twitter and Instagram. My friend Kirk is at Kirk Smith. Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to donate at patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. And finally, if you are new to the episode or to the podcast, if this episode is the first episode you ever listened to of this podcast, is what I tried to say. It was going so well, wasn't it?
You were killing it.
Yes.
Jet lagging
but
all.
Anyway, just... click that little subscribe. Give us a 5-star on the old iTunes there. It helps us reach more people. And that's it.
That's it, guys. You can do it. Have a great week. You can do it. We love you.
Thank you.